Hello, everybody. I didn't expect a full room, so I'm flattered. I thought a bit about the title and what was I trying to sort of, what was the story behind the title. And we talk about scales, we talk about solar systems, but at the end of the day, we all want to measure them. We want to quantify them. So, and for good reason, for practical reasons, because we want to make decisions. And so it's a puzzle sometimes, and a journey too, that takes us to solve that puzzle. So as we go through, we fortunately and unfortunately travel across different scales, and that complicates things. As enlightening as that is for our learning, it's also difficult. What are the challenges? Or I should say more challenges. You're talking about different temporal and spatial scales. You're talking about dynamic soil properties that vary within a very, very short time span, and also in space. And you have this scale where we almost always see things and make decisions. And so how do all these other scales fit into this? How do we fit that together? And it's not easy. I don't have all the answers, but I'll just give you my perspective on it. So you come through this, and then our intent to measure and characterize these things is really we want to link things. And Phil alluded to that when he talked about processes. That's what we're trying to do. And we want to measure that. And the idea to measure it is because we want to influence. We want to know what direction this is going and how can we change it if it's not going to the direction that we want it. So it comes down to really looking into the finding where's that balance. It's a question of downscaling and upscaling. And this is big and has gained a lot of attention recently because of a lot of modeling community, modeling communities from micro to macro always deal with this. And if you look into this, you can see that in most of the cases, they make a case that soils are very important, and all these climate models often don't really sort of appreciate that, and they just make a statement, but they can't grasp how to do it. But you also have the other side of the story, which is the scaling up from the small, from very fine scale to a larger scale. So the question is, what would be the practical way to look into it and make some measurements? And here's an example. This is from an article in 2004 on the climate change. And you can see the trends as far as the percent change in yield. But it's so big and so broad. Nobody, can argue about the importance of this, but when it comes to providing solutions, this whole brown area, it's not going to give us too much. It just tells us that the whole thing, the whole system is losing. But I'm sure that not all things are going to be the same across the continents and within the countries. Here's another example of a plant available soil moisture, and you can see the scale. It's 5 kilometers by 5 kilometers. And any soil scientist, and I'm sure there are many of us here, can tell you there is a lot that goes on within a 5 by 5 square kilometer. There is a lot. And they recognize it, and that's how they sort of try to address this. When they talk about this scale, when they talk about the spatial structure of the actual soil moisture, obviously they recognize that it depends on the distribution of topography. But for their purposes, they treat this as stochastic. So the question that I have is it really stochastic? Now, of course, at this scale it is, but can we do a better job to represent this? Because in a lot of papers, this is what you see. And we as a soil scientist sometimes challenge that notion because we know a bit more about this soil at another scale. Now, of course, this is not easy because you can go to the other extreme and then you can look into the other scale, which is really the finite scale. And this is another, if you wish, another system. We talked about soil systems in our sort of a context as a landscape approach. But here's another one, and lots of paper you find this too. So how do you address this? And then you're dealing with very, very high dynamic system, highly dynamic system that vary within seconds and minutes and then very in short distance. So what's the sort of the spot that we want to go? Which would be the relevant scale? And this is something that it's not just us all scientists, but a lot of other disciplines and struggle with this notion. And here is a good example of one of the nice papers that I always refer to as far as trying to sort of find the scale at which we can make measurements and also sort of influence the change or the direction at which we are trying to direction that we're trying to influence. And as you can see, the key here is that we're talking about landforms, and instead of prescribing heterogeneity, we're talking about processes and connections. So that these are the two key things, process and connection. So they're connected. So if you follow the process, then that process can lead you to different patterns, because when we map or whatever we capture, it's a snapshot. It's an expression of a process that's occurring at different scales. And this is where we are as far as our approach to the soil landscape model or the soil systems. And this is what this is really what we call. This is stopped now. Okay. So here's an example of how we how we approach this. Here's a this is in Indiana. The blue numbers are the wetness index, and these are the total soil carbon measured. And this is a transect along which they are measured. And everybody that is from northern Indiana or Midwest is familiar with all these patterns. So these are the this is the old what's left from the glaciers. And although we have drained this and managed the heck out of this, you can still see these patterns. And you can measure them and you can quantify the distribution of this carbon on the landscape if you understand that distribution at this level, because it repeats itself, and I'll show you quickly why that is important. Here is the Howard County from which that transect was drawn, and you can see that what we're talking about is the connections now between all these points. We measured this We selected this point based on this system. This is somewhat a system, if you wish, the major soil landscapes. And this is really the sort of what we call the sweet spot. And this is a term that I coined from Phil and Doug. And this is what we come up with when we talk about. And this is the spot that we like because it's visible. We can see it, we can measure it, and it's practical also for management decisions. Here's now what that can lead. And this is a bottom-up approach. Now we build a map of carbon, a continuous map based on selective sites. And this is important because you cannot afford to sample everywhere. So soil systems have also a practical aspect of it, that it guides your sampling scheme and it makes it efficient. So what we're talking about, again, is trying to measure these properties at a scale that is relevant, and hopefully at multiple scales, in order to sort of understand the whole system at different scales. And here is, again, the definition of Daniels. This is the book that Phil showed some diagrams and another presenter also. So this is, and what we're trying to do here, is, for example, is trying to measure the KSAT, the hydraulic conductivity, at different scales, from the hill slope, from points, trying to at the hill slope, different depths, and at the catchment scale, because we know it's highly variable. And so if we can capture this at these different scales, we may be able to come up with an average number or maybe even understand the KSAT within that system and also upscale it with some reasonable degree of accuracy. Here is, again, one of the key issues, one of the key advantages of using this soil system is that you can upscale this. And that's the key here, that you can take advantage of what you know or what we know from the soil surveys that have been conducted over the entire U.S., and we can predict and we can upscale that to make predictions for different purposes. Here's an example. These are the instruments that are installed in observations and instruments installed in different positions at point, at the hill slope scale, and at the small catchment scale. And there are various instruments, and really what we're trying to do is we're trying to monitor the water. This is a hydrological unit 12. So we're really following the water. So bankers will tell you follow the money, we follow the water. That's what we do as soil scientists. And it's very important because really the fastest and the biggest substance that circulates around the earth, it's the water. Even ourselves, we are just full of water. 60% of our bodies are water. And how many times do we go to the bathroom and drink water? Because, you know, that's the, and that's, the soils are the same. The systems are the same. They receive the same inputs and deal with in the same way that we do. So what we do, however, that we benefit from that because once we understand the hydrology and the water flow into these little catchments, we can upscale that to a HAC-12 and then to a major MLRA. And this is a soil system. So it has that, it has that advantage. Now here's a way to look at it. This is sort of the idea of a cookie cutter, if you wish, and I'll get to this in a minute. But here is an example from Namasigo watershed in Honduras, and this is a soil map of organic carbon. As you can see, it's driven by the topography. The carbon distribution in the landscape is driven by topography, but notice the scale, and I'm going to traverse through the scales as I move through these slides quickly to show you how the scale changes and what level we arrive at the end of this. And it's going to be the idea is how can you support multiple level decisions. Now, Bauma in 1997 wrote a paper about this decision-making levels, and then he kind of came up with three levels: the strategic, the tactical, and operational level. And here he defined the strategic one. It's almost like land use type, if you wish, the term that we are all familiar with. And as you zoom in, you talk about the tactical level. Now, this is more of a farm level. You are in an area where you can make decisions about how you're going to fertilize and tillage and organic matter and all sorts of decisions in the farm. But then you move to operational level, to the landscape scale, and of course these farms are a typical size that you'd find in developing countries. In the U.S., this wouldn't be the case unless you are growing gardens in the city. But you're talking about bigger farms, and this is your kind of a cartoon of a landscape. And so this is where the decisions are being made, really, within a growing season. And so that's why that soil systems, that landscape, is so powerful, because it gives you the ability to make decisions at this scale. So as a sort of a closing statement, we already established that those, and our previous speakers already established that, you know, landscapes are important, but they are scalable. And the soil systems are an effective way to sort of come up with a bottom-up approach and upscale it to regional and continental scales. And when you combine them together, you can get a lot more out of it. And what's more important is that you can get it at relevant scales. That's all. I'm done. Thank you. Questions? I'm sure hopefully there are some. Yes.
I don't know if this comes as an easy question or a hard question, but scale seems very important all these things. How do you define scale? What is scale?
That's a good question. It's all relative. I mean, I'm going to go with the escape. It depends, right? But no, I mean, scales to me, it's a process. That's how I see this. I mean, you talk about the landscape, right? We're a hill slope. And we're trying to determine the water flow or how does the soil develop. Now, you can ask the question, do you want to look at the stratigraphy of that, how the soil developed on along the landscape? Or do you want to know how the soil developed as you go down? Or do you want to know both ways? Horizontal and vertical, do you want to look at that on time too? Do you want to have the time dimension? So these are all, they have all length, and so that to me, that's the scale. It's like you determine the length of it. Do you want it within 1 meter, 2 meters, 10 years, million years? Do you want it at 100 meters distance? That's to me, that's the scale. That's why to me it's a puzzle, because there was a good example that Phil showed about exaggeration of the vertical scale and then the horizontal scale. So you can play with that to kind of highlight the process and see what where it's occurring and at what rate it's occurring. So it's you know, that's why I call it a puzzle, because you always have to kind of be very, very thoughtful about what are you trying to answer. So to me, the key here is tell me what question you're trying to address, what is the problem, and then we can talk about scales. And this is something that we always do in digital soil mapping too. A lot of people do also digital mapping, but we sometimes forget to ask the quick question, what is it for and what scale do you want it? And once you have those two questions, then you can define the scale. Yes?
I have a very short question on semantics. So is soil landscape the same thing as soilscapes as defined by Francis Ford?
By who?
Is it the same as soilscapes? Soil landscapes?
I haven't read the definition of the soilscape, so I have to really look into those to compare them. But I know sometimes we confuse soil landscape with hill slope, and so or the catena. So they sometimes are used interchangeably, but though we know among ourselves that we know what we mean. But I have to look those definitions to really go word by word if you're going to talk about semantics, because even a comma might mean something different there. So
thank you, Zubair.
Oh, thank you.